And right through these doors, gentlemen, is where we will conclude our tour. I present to you the storage facility for the mini stage props used in the Magic Eye Theater productions here at Disneyland.
Wow, Freddie Martin, did you think you'd ever see so many amazing Disney Parks artifacts in one place?
I've got to admit, Alex Stewart, I thought it was going to be great to get a private tour of the Tomorrowland Theater for our upcoming episode of the Backside of Water podcast, but I didn't think it was going to be this great.
I know, there has to be 500 artifacts in this room.
611 to be exact. Still not quite as many as Richard Kraft, but if you'll excuse me, I am scheduled to give a star tour to a few of the ILM executives in 5 minutes. Please, feel free to peruse what we have here and just close the door behind you once you've finished.
Hey, thanks so much, Mr. Rembrandt. Leave it to guest relations cast member to know every nook and cranny of this amazing theater.
It really was my pleasure. Have a wonderful time here at the park.
Thanks again. Man, what a nice guy.
Salt to the earth. And how epic is it that we get free rein to explore these archives like this? There's so much history to explore.
You can say that again. Oh, look over there. It's the boots worn by Michael Jackson in Captain EO.
And look at this. What's one of the original venue seats for when this area was the Tomorrowland space stage back in the 60s?
The history in here is just too overwhelming. Oh, wait. What? Freddy, look over there.
What is it, Al? All I see is a drop cloth.
Oh, not the drop cloth, Freddy. What's underneath it?
Now that you mention it, that shape does look familiar.
Of course it does. I present to you Wayne Szalinski's world-famous Shrink Ray.
Oh, I've only ever seen this from the perspective of an audience member in the Magic Eye Theater, Al. Up close, it's even more wonderful than I'd imagined.
Right?
I mean, look at the detail on this thing, from the tip of the laser extruder all the way down to the rubber nubs on the feet. What?
What is it, Freddy?
No, it can't be. There's no way.
What, Freddy?
Of course. Why would I think otherwise?
What are you talking about?
Look, Al, right here, right by what looks to be the gyro stabilizer.
Okay, it looks like... Oh, wait a second. No way. Freddy, is that?
Yes, it is. The SEA emblem.
Oh, Eureka! Freddy, does this mean that Wayne Szalinski is a part of the ultra-secret Disney organization, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers?
Oh, well, now, let's not get our cart ahead of the horse on this. Al, if our last two adventures exploring this topic have taught us anything, it's not to assume anything about anyone. I mean, just because there's a crest on this device, it doesn't mean that Szalinski himself was a member, per se. The Imagination Institute, on the other hand, it's a creative organization that Szalinski was indeed a member of. It's always been rumored to be in alliance with the SEA, but there's never really been any conclusive evidence that's arisen. I mean, I'm not sure if they are truly connected.
Well, except for what we're seeing right here.
So it would seem, but as any member of the SEA would tell us, we can't take things at face value. We have to dig deeper, explore further, and leave no stone unturned to uncover what is truly going on here.
I agree. So let's get to work.
Al, why are you on the floor?
Well, you said no stone unturned. And where are all the stones in the world? On the ground, of course.
Oh, well, your logic is truly astounding, my friend.
Thank you very much. Now, do me a favor and hand me that hockey helmet with the magnifying glass attached to it over there.
This one?
Yes. Thank you.
Al, this has to be the strangest thing I've ever seen you do.
That's what they said about Dr. Szalinski as well, if I do recall. And look where he ended up. Now, to look for clues, there has to be something. Whoa!
What is it?
Look!
I don't see anything, Al. It's just a crazy person crawling around on the floor in a helmet.
No, seriously, get down here, Freddy.
All right, all right.
Okay, here. Put this helmet on and look in the knot hole in this floorboard.
I don't see anything. Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I see it. It looks like a tiny little shipping crate. But it's too small for me to pick it up with my bare hands.
Stand back, Freddy.
Huh? Whoa, Al, don't point that shrink ray at me. We all know how that will end.
Now, I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing it at the crate. Now, move aside.
De-shrinking in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Whoa, that was just like in the movie.
Oh, if I'm being honest, pal, I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Well, I guess it's good for you that you took the gamble because the crate is enlarging and...
Take a look at the emblem burned onto it. It's another crest for the...
Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Oh, Freddy, to be honest, I thought the trail leading to all things SEA was lost forever.
I did too. Our last two SEA adventures ended with our new friend, Henry Muntz, the grandson of famed and elusive SEA archivist Richard Quartermain Muntz, diving off of Schweitzer Falls to his death in order to prevent the sinister Disney black marketeer Felix Casablanca from getting the third key that was needed to unlock the priceless book that holds all of the secrets of the SEA.
Woo, Freddy, way to wrap up the plotline for our SEA adventures up to this point. That's no easy task to sum up so concisely the two huge adventures we've had over the years. It's almost as if those previous SEA adventures were two older episodes of our show that you could go back and listen to over and over to get caught up to where we are now. Ah, if only we or our listeners could do that again.
Yeah. If only. But what matters now is that we have a new clue that can help me unlock more secrets of SEA lore. And it couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah?
Yeah. On my blog, freddymartin.net, I'm beginning a series of articles focused on the various members of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. Now that this exciting, super secret organization is getting more and more attention placed on it by its fans and the Walt Disney Company at large, I think it's high time folks have as much of the full picture as they can about this highly secretive group.
I think that's a great idea, bud. This crate really couldn't have been revealed at a better time then. And speaking of the crate, I wonder why it was shrunken down like that.
A great question, which may ultimately never be answered. What really matters is getting this crate open and seeing what's inside. Here, Al, take this crowbar and head over to the other side of the crate. Let's pop the top on my count. 3, 2, 1.
Whoa. Take a look at that loot, Freddy. This thing is chock full of trinkets, gizmos, and treasures.
And all of it with the SEA crest emblazoned upon it. Al, this may be one of the most significant finds of SEA artifacts to date. I mean, look at... Wait, no. It can't be.
What is it?
I don't believe my eyes.
What is it?
Look at this.
The box's manifest. Okay. It outlines everything inside the crate. Big deal. All shipped containers have this kind of paperwork.
It's not the paperwork, Al. It's the name of the person who signed the paperwork.
Okay. It looks like it says, oh, no way. Henry Muntz?
Can you believe it? He's alive!
Freddy, there's no way someone could have survived a fall from over the edge of Schweitzer Falls like he did. This manifest has to be old.
Wrong-o, pal. Take a look at the manifest date. Marked just a few weeks ago. Henry is still alive, my friend.
Oh, that old salty dog. Hey, you don't think he's still setting up security systems on the SEA storehouses around the world like he was when we found him, do you?
Well, maybe we should ask him ourselves.
And how exactly are we going to do that, bud? We have no clue where he might be.
Well, not yet, but this manifest is a great place to start.
How so?
Well, look here. It says that this is crate 2 of 3 of 55.
What does that even mean?
Well, it's written in a funky way, I see it, but it sounds like the crate goes with a set of 2 others that are also part of a larger shipment of 55 crates total.
Wait, Freddy, does this mean that this is one of 55 other crates containing genuine SEA artifacts?
Well, we can only hope. But let's not get our engine ahead of our jungle boat here, pal. We should find the other 2 crates before we look for all 55 of them.
Good idea, Freddy. I get it. Eat the churro 1 bite at a time. I like it. But where do we look for the other crates?
A great question, and one with an easy answer, I hope.
Ah, hallelujah.
Look right here. It says this shipment is scheduled to leave the Jungle Navigation shipping dock aboard the Mekong Maiden. Now we just need to track down something called a Mekong Maiden?
Oh, Freddy, the Mekong Maiden is one of the Jungle Cruise boats I used to drive when I was a skipper on the Jungle Cruise. All we need to do is head over to the dock and we'll find the boat. And when we find the boat...
we find the shipments. Man, that really does seem like it's a little too easy, but... who knows? Maybe we're just catching the break we so badly deserve. Either way, it looks like we have a date with a certain Mekong Maiden.
A brand new SEA adventure is afoot. It's like a dream come true. Off to the world famous Jungle Cruise! Ah, the world-famous Jungle Cruise, or as we call it...
Home Sweet Home.
Well, hey, that's odd.
What is it?
Look at this here sign hanging on the door to the shipping office. What does it say?
Out to lunch. Shoot. Looks like we just missed the AM jungle shift.
No worries. They'll be back again soon. Oh, and then we can charter a boat to chase down the Mekong Maiden. In the meantime, let's just make ourselves at home here in the boathouse.
It sure is good to be back in the Lost Delta Boathouse again, eh, Al?
Well, I'm back in the boathouse again. You said... oh, sorry, Freddy. Sorry. You said it. As long as I've been away from the jungle, it never fails to feel like home whenever I get a chance to get back here.
And as much as it feels familiar, it always seems as though there's something new to see, whether it's the relics of excursions past or the little hints to the never-ending conflict between the skippers and management. Ugh. I love picking through the details to see the stories of the who's and what's who have made this boathouse their home over the decades.
And as always, there's a ton of new details everywhere.
You're so right. I mean... take a look over here. As we walk into the boathouse and turn into the first room on the left, on the far wall over there are some artist supplies and paintings in progress. They're just hanging there on the wall. And oh, check this out. Right next to them is the travel paint box with the name Rosa Soda Dominguez imprinted on it.
Dominguez? Like the Dominguez palm?
Perhaps. I don't know if you know this, but Rosa Soda Dominguez is that famous artist from Mexico whose wildlife paintings took the art world by storm in the early 20th century. She was BFFs with Alberta Falls growing up. I wonder if she's here for a cruise.
Oh, that's so cool, Freddy.
Hey, let's head upstairs to the upper floors and I'll show you something I found just a little while ago. The Jungle Airmail Service.
Airmail? Is that some kind of Wi-Fi-enabled instant file transfer system?
Not exactly, but as instant as it can get when you send your messages by pigeon.
Did you say by pigeon? I guess that's faster than Jungle River mail, but it seems a little more messy.
Step out here onto the roof with me, Al. See up there, under those eaves?
Well, I'll be a pigeon's uncle. There's 3 pigeon roosts right up there. I've never noticed that before. Oh, and each one is marked with the name of the pigeon who lives here. Let's see, there's Amelia, Wiley, and Flash.
That's right. These carrier pigeons deliver the mail across Adventureland and beyond. Amelia is obviously named after Amelia Earhart, the famous aviator, and Wiley is named after Wiley Post, the first person to fly solo around the world.
Oh, that's awesome. But who's Flash named after?
Well, you know, I haven't totally figured that one out yet, but there was a famous comic book that came out around those days with the main character named Flash Gordon. I'm guessing that's where his name comes from. I'm sure one of our brilliant listeners will let us know what it really is.
Oh, good thinking. Oh, but look here, there's a mail satchel with a canister of birdseed. Oh, what's this? Siobhan Puffin Murphy?
Puffin? I'm not sure who that is, but apparently this is an airmail delivery waiting for her when she gets back. Now back inside, heading down this dark hallway towards the end of the boathouse. I always hate this part. I'm always afraid a big spider's gonna come down on top of me. Over here, we find the office of Alberta Falls, the current proprietor of the Jungle Navigation Company, and the granddaughter of that noted explorer and SEA member, Dr. Albert Falls.
The Albert Falls? Freddy, this is so exciting. He's the true hero of all of our jungle adventures. Dr. Albert Falls is the founder of the Jungle Navigation Company. Without him, I don't think any of us skippers could have made it in the real world. I mean, where else could a guy like me or a girl like Annie or a dude like you have fit in with our deadpan sense of humor and our obsessive fascination with exotic plant species?
In the Home Depot garden department, Al?
Exactly. And that's why we truly owe him a debt of gratitude.
That is true. Not many people know how important Dr. Falls is in the history of the SEA.
All right, lay it on me.
Well, Al, it's a long story. A really long story. Longer than all of the rivers of the world if they all link together in one place.
Oh, that's long. Tell me the short version.
Okay, I'll try. Dr. Albert Falls was a well-respected scientist and explorer who was known for his uncanny knack for safely navigating dangerous rivers. His discoveries are known the world over. You've heard of the ancient Cambodian shrine.
Built by ancient Cambodian shriners?
The same. And surely you've heard of the river temple he found guarded by a statue of Shir Li.
Oh, yes, Shir Li's temple. I'm familiar.
And of course, there's that infamous and beautiful cascading waterfall that bears his name, none other than Schweitzer Falls.
We'll go over that later, I'm sure.
Inevitably. It's for these daring acts of exploration and adventure that he was voted into the Society of Explorers and Adventurers in the 1890s.
Well, I guess he had the boats, so he had the votes.
Dr. Falls received the coveted Elephant Juju from the Adventure Trading Company for his tracking skills, and in 1903, he was celebrated by the Society of Explorers and Adventurers for his journey down the Mbeya River in Gabon with a commemorative oar displayed in the tropical hideaway. You remember that from our first SEA episode in 2019, don't you, Al?
How could I forget? That's what started this whole adventure in the first place.
But then, in 1911, he founded the Jungle Navigation Company to support the goals of the society. Originally operating out of the Lost Delta Boathouse, or West Dock, as the skippers call it, the JNC served as a shipping company for explorers and adventurers shuttling members around the world via his network of rivers and tributaries. He eventually moved the headquarters to his spacious home near the Amazon River Base, or East Dock. It was there he opened the famous Skipper Canteen to feed his ravenous riverboat captains. He even built a hidden meeting room in his library for secret meetings with the society.
We almost didn't make it out of there alive.
I remember.
Hey, I know a bit about Dr. Albert Falls, but what about his family?
Well, good question. Dr. Falls married a fellow adventurer named Victoria Falls, and they had a son, Albert Falls Jr.
Ah, first comes love, then comes marriage.
Oh, well, they do fall in love all over the place here in the jungle. Albert Jr. eventually wed and made Albert Sr. and Victoria grandparents when their daughter, Alberta Falls, was finally born.
Yes, sirree, the heir apparent has arrived.
Alberta's heart for adventure was strong, so when she turned 8, Alberta was sent to live with her grandparents and would frequently go on adventures with Dr. Falls and his skippers.
What a life that must have been for a little girl with an eye for discovery.
But here's where the story turns, Al. In 1928, Dr. Albert Falls mysteriously disappeared.
Hey, I think I remember this.
Oh, yes. and although she's determined to continue her grandfather's legacy as the head proprietor of the JNC, she is committed to track down clues to what happened to her grandfather, and maybe, just maybe, find him somewhere alive and well.
Ah, what a story. And the great thing is, it's all unfolding before our very eyes here in the boathouse.
And now, here we are, Alberta Falls office.
Whoa. Full body chills.
You want chills, Al. Look up on that shelf. It's her grandfather's ceremonial fez. After he disappeared mysteriously, she honored his memory by keeping his fez on display, just in case he comes back. Mysteriously.
That would be mysterious.
Alberta's done a great job keeping the boats running and happy passengers coming back for more. Well, those who do make it back.
You know, by the look of her office here, Alberta Falls is one busy woman, and kinda messy, to be honest.
Well, maybe, but it's the clutter that gives us plenty of clues to her story. Hey, here's a test, Al. What do the typewriter, the tribal drums, and the birdcage tell you about Alberta Falls?
Okay, well, the typewriter over there tells me she has to send a lot of letters or documents with her shipments on the Jungle Cruise boats.
That's good. What else?
Okay, and the drums over there tells me she's into music and probably uses them for communication here in the jungle.
Yep, and?
And that bird cage tells me she has a pet bird. A green bird, by the looks of all those feathers scattered around.
That's right. His name is Kamaka the Kakapo, a very rare species of large, flightless parrot.
Maybe he's even more rare.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, Alberta's kaka-kapa-papa bird isn't here.
Neither is Alberta. I wonder if that means she's out on the rivers on an extended expedition.
That could be. We can take a look at the excursion log down at the shipping office and see if we can figure out where she might have gone. Hang on, Freddy. I just saw something you might find interesting.
What's that?
Out here on the upper loading deck on the north side of the boathouse, there's another shipping crate ready for loading. And look who it's addressed to.
Where? Oh, there. Oh my goodness. You've got a great eye for this stuff, Al.
I learned from the best, pal. Look at this. The shipping stencil on the side of the crate says, "Books from SEA Mystic Point Chapter, shipped to Dr. Khan, Society of Explorers and Adventurers, Adventureland Outskirts, keep dry." Who do you think Dr. Khan is, Freddy?
Dr. Khan? I wonder if they mean Dr. Khan Chunosuke.
Who's that?
He's an entomologist.
Ooh, a scientist who studies entomins Danishes. I bet that's an amazing job.
No, Al. An entomologist is somebody who studies bugs.
Ugh, that's a letdown.
He's actually one of the new generation of SEA members. I've only seen him referenced once before. I didn't actually think he was an SEA member, but that crate is the proof. Apparently, fellow SEA member Dr. Henry Mystic, or someone from his estate, sent these books to Dr. Khan for his travels.
Wow, that's amazing. But, Freddy, you said you'd seen him referenced before. Where's that?
Oh, right in here, actually. Come on. Now, hanging on the wall here in this upper queue area is a specimen case filled with rare butterflies. Dr. Khan is an entomologist, and the plaque says these are from his collection. He must have donated them to the Jungle Navigation Company to help educate their passengers on the species they may encounter on their charted cruises.
And this is why you have to keep your eye out for all the clues here at Disneyland. The SEA is everywhere, Freddy.
Oh, yes. And speaking of keeping an eye out, look who's back from their lunch break.
Ah, the fearless skipper crew. Let's head down to secure a boat for rent.
You mean a naphtha launch?
Sure. I'd love to take a naphtha lunch, if you insist, but I actually take those usually in the opposite order.
No, Al, a naphtha launch. That's the kind of small engine vessel the boats found here on the Jungle Cruise are. You know, they used to come with striped canopies too, not khaki.
And why were they striped?
So they couldn't be spotted.
Yeah, naturally.
Now let's get down and rent that boat.
It's Skipper Eddie, Skipper Sarah, we can't thank you enough for hooking us up with this here naphtha launch for our short trip up the river for the Trader Sam's Piranha Fry. You know, I can't wait to try the fish so tasty it bites you back.
Our pleasure.
Hit it, Skip!
Smile and wave, Alex. Smile and wave.
Bye! What are you talking about? What's going on?
Let's just say I may have borrowed the excursion log from the shipping office while you were doing the walk-around inspection of this here Congo Queen.
Freddy!
What? Desperate times, pal. And it paid off, too. Take a look at this entry. The Mekong Maiden left the dock early this morning, loaded up with a full load of crates. And a full load of explorers. Take a look at that passenger list.
Oh, Siobhan Murphy, iris ornithologist. Hey, she's the bird watcher with the airmail package.
That's right. Who else is on this list?
Okay, Dr. Leonard Moss, Canadian botanist. Rosa Sato Dominguez, the artist from The Cube.
No way.
And get this. Dr. Kan Chinosuke, Japanese Intonman's Danishologist.
Whatever, Al. He's Dr. Kan of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. This is getting interesting.
Oh, and it says here that the boat was captained by Skipper F. Peckman?
The new guy on the skipper crew? Uh-oh, that's not a good sign.
Oh, but wait, look at the last column under notes. It says 10:01 a.m. Mayday call, Schweitzer Falls. Oh no, and right under that it says 11:13 a.m. no contact. Last presumed location. Oh, hippo pool.
Oh no. I've got a bad feeling about this.
Me too. If we're going to have any luck finding the Mekong Maiden, her crew, and her cargo, we're going to need to get to that hippo pool. And fast!
I know a shortcut. Let's go. Okay, here we are, Al. Just outside of the hippo pool.
I don't know about you, Freddy, but I'm feeling a little PTHD.
What's that?
No. Post-traumatic hippo disorder.
Oh, don't worry, buddy. We're not going into the hippo pool. Look there.
Whoa, the Mekong Maiden!
Well, most of her, at least. Looks like it was an ear-wiggling, bubble-blowing kind of day for the hippos.
Aren't they all? Look at this wreckage. The boat is ripped in half.
Oh, the humanity.
Those aren't humans, pal. The Mekong Maiden, or what's left of her, has been completely overrun by a troop of chimpanzees.
And they've made a terrible mess of everything. All the passengers' luggage have been emptied out, and they're having a ball playing with it.
Ugh, what a mess. There's Rosa Dominguez's painting smeared everywhere. Oh, I hope the passengers are all right.
Oh, hey, look. I can see there up on the shore the footprints of the passengers leading right up into the jungle.
Whew. At least we know they made it out onto dry land safely. Now all they have to do is make it through rhino territory and then they're home free. Good luck.
I'll radio back to the shipping office and let them know to keep a sharp lookout for that lost safari. Who knows what they'll be up to out there in the jungle.
That's a good point, but up or down, high or low, it's a good thing Dr. Kan is with them. I have a climbing feeling having an SEA member in your safari party makes any journey an adventure.
Now, if only we could get those monkeys to scram off the boat, we could dig through the wreckage in peace. What'll we do?
Well, Freddy, it's a good thing I brought these.
Bananas, Al? Seriously? Could you get anything more cliche?
Hey, monkeys, take a looky here. Now, go get them.
Wow, I can't believe that actually worked, Al.
What can I say? They go ape for bananas.
Oh, that joke was low. Even for a skipper.
What can I say? Win in the jungle.
Let's get on board and see if we can find those two other crates.
Ooh, the water's a little colder than I remember.
Ooh, agreed. Let's find these crates fast and get out of here.
Let's see here. Mosquito nets? A box full of quinine bottles?
An old Victrola? Ooh, a crate that looks similar to the one we found in the Tomorrowland Theater.
Well, what are you waiting for? Bust it open!
All right, stand by.
Well, any luck?
Luck or not, we have a ton more articles for the SEA stockpile on our hands here. But this manifest says 3 out of 3 of 55.
Okay. Freddy, I have to ask, what exactly are you looking for in these crates?
Well, I'm looking for the first crate, 1 out of 3 of 55. The main manifest copy is traditionally the one that has the destination information in a trio of crates.
And how exactly do you know this kind of information?
Well, you may have had a family that is steeped in a heritage of root beer brewing, but us Martins, we are deliverers.
No, we're deliverers. Yeah, right.
You know the big shipping company, right? Dean and Martin?
Yeah, who doesn't?
My great-grandfather is the Martin.
Wait, seriously?
Would I lie about something like that? Now, getting back to the matter at hand, we really need to find that first crate. Keep looking around the boat.
Oh, no.
What is it?
I think I found it.
Why do you say it like that, Al? Are there snakes?
No. Look.
Oh. Is that?
Mm-hmm. It looks like the chimps used it as their little simian poo box.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. I don't do poo.
Well, feel free, my friend, to do the honors on this one.
Oh, seriously, Al? Do you really think I'm going to open a crate covered in chimp doo-doo?
Well, Freddy, as the SEA members all say, exploratio continua through thick and thin, poo and all. Exploratio continua.
That's not what that's for. Oh, gross. Okay. Okay. This is all for the research. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to do this. Here we go. Oh, I got some on me, Al. Get it off, get it off, get it off, get it off.
Oh, way to take one for the team, bud. That was disgusting. Oh, but it was totally worth it. Look, right there on top of the pile of priceless SEA artifacts. It's the first manifest.
Oh, you're right. And right here, on the top right of the document, we have our destination.
The Adventureland Treehouse? Freddy, does that mean that Henry Muntz is at the Adventureland Treehouse?
Looks like it. We finally get to explore that treehouse that I've always wanted to explore.
Oh, we've been able to explore one of the most famous trees in the jungle on the show before, Tarzan's Treehouse, but we have yet to explore the mysteries inside this elusive but amazing Adventureland Treehouse. I can't wait. But just one question.
What's that, Al?
Where exactly is this Adventureland Treehouse?
Good question. I have a good idea what we're looking for, though.
And what's that?
A Disneyodendron Semper Florens Grandis.
Oh, an ever-blooming Disney tree. Those are really rare. What makes you think the Adventureland Treehouse is one of those?
Well, think about it. Every great treehouse adventure starts with a shipwreck. The Swiss Family Robinson, Tarzan.
So you think we...
Yes, I do. We're standing right here in the middle of a jungle boat wreck. Therefore, the Adventureland Treehouse is in the same sort of tree, and it can't be far away.
Very odd, but surprisingly sound logic.
Thank you. Now, to the treehouse.
To the treehouse! Oh, and Freddy?
Yeah?
You still got a little doo-doo on your collar.
Oh!
Oh, How much longer, Freddy? We've been sailing forever and still haven't made it to the treehouse.
Al, it's been 11 minutes.
Like I said, forever.
Give me some credit, Skip. Sailing backwards through the jungle is not easy. First, we keep getting hung up with the other skippers, going the opposite direction.
Yeah, the river is way narrower than I remember.
And second,
your jokes aren't as funny in reverse.
Exactly. Punchline's first comedy was never my strong suit. Wait, look up ahead. Is that it? Yes, it's the Adventureland Treehouse. What perfect timing.
Wow, it really is beautiful.
You said it. It looks like something out of a storybook.
A storybook indeed. As you said before, the stories of the Swiss Family Robinson and Tarzan started with a shipwreck and ended up in adventure stories that entertain generations.
This treehouse is truly incredible. Have you ever seen anything like it before?
No. Well, yes. But never mind. It's truly a wonder.
I know. Look at the way the family who lives here has incorporated parts from the shipwreck into the building of the treehouse. The materials used in the construction are so unique. Look at these timbers pulled out of the shipwreck to build the floor beams. They're strong and durable. And even the bow of their lifeboat provides the structure for one of their rooms.
And their use of the natural jungle resources are extremely innovative. Bamboo posts and supports, palm branch roofing, and giant clamshells are all turned into useful everyday objects to make their life in the jungle a little bit of paradise.
Not only that, it looks like whatever washed ashore in their shipwreck got put to new use in their treetop home. The furniture, the decorations, even the lanterns, everything has been repurposed and reused in such creative ways.
Oh, my favorite part is the big water wheel being turned by that little jungle stream. The motion of the turning wheel carries these bamboo water vessels all the way up to the top of the tree to then trickle down to wherever it's needed throughout the branches.
Indoor plumbing's got nothing on the Adventureland treehouse.
And just think of the protection they get from predators by being up in the branches of the tree. We're completely surrounded by the lush jungle canopy, yet we're still safe and secure.
Safe and secure? Well, maybe from the gators and elephants, but what about the pythons, leopards, eyelash vipers, orangutans, and Brazilian wandering spiders?
Wandering spiders? What are they wandering about?
Wandering about your feet, Al. Think fast!
Yeah! Oh, ha-ha, you got me there. Ugh, I'm just glad it wasn't a hippo.
A hippo? Al, you know hippos can't climb trees.
Psh, that's what you think, Freddy. Back in '06, three rookie skippers and I were picking mangoes in the African veldt when out of nowhere, a reticulated Congolese nesting hippopotamus tumbled down out of the branches and crushed the rookies flat.
Oh boy, oh boy. I hope they got compensated double for the hazard pay.
Not exactly. It was a flat fee.
Anyway, the only creatures we're sharing this space with at the moment are all these beautiful birds and butterflies flitting in and out among the flowers.
It's so peaceful.
It is. It's like we're part of their world up here. Say, I noticed it's not just a functional home this family built, Alex.
What do you mean, Freddy?
Well, it's like they didn't just build this tree to survive. They built it with a creativity and curiosity that truly helps them to thrive. Take the mother's music den, for example. It's one thing to just make it by from day to day. It's another thing entirely to live a life filled with music. Let's face it, life without music is no life at all.
You said it, pal.
And with the flowering vines winding in and out of the room, it's like a symphony of natural beauty.
I see what you mean. I saw the same thing in the boys' bedroom back there. It wasn't just four walls and two cots. Their room has everything they need to discover, study, and connect with the wildlife of their jungle home.
Exactly. And the father's art studio? It's a creator's paradise. Each one of his artistic creation reflects the dynamic beauty of the creation all around him. And from the looks of the daughter's room, she's inspired to dream beyond the heights of her treetop home to the stars and galaxies in the night sky above. That is some impressive telescope, don't you think, Al?
Oh, wow. Of all the rooms in the treehouse, this one echoes with the spirit of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers the most. Exploratio Continua. I wouldn't be surprised if she grew up to be a member.
I don't know if you noticed, but there are some not-so-subtle nods to the SEA hidden throughout this tree. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that this family is tied into the Society in a big way. Why else would they be out this far into the jungle? Well, here we are. We made it to the top.
Oh, wow. Look at this view, Freddy. You can see all the jungle from up here.
There really is nothing like this kind of vista to remind you of what a magical place Disneyland really is.
I'll say.
I'll say so, too.
Henry!
Henry Cousteau Muntz.
In the flesh, how are you guys?
I don't believe my eyes. We thought you were a goner.
Well, with all due respect, it was kind of the plan.
What do you mean?
Well, I figured if it seemed like I was dead, the heat from Casablanca and his goons would be off of me for a while. Sadly, that meant even hiding the truth from you guys.
So wait, you've been alive this whole time?
yes. Well, I wasn't dead for a while, and then not, and if that's what you're asking.
Well, unbelievable! Talk about a plot twist.
Yeah, but I've got to ask, how exactly did you find me? Well, I thought I did a pretty good job of playing dead.
I'll say, we had no clue you were still alive until we came across a crate full of SEA artifacts that had a manifest with your initials on it.
Wait, a crate, did you say?
Yeah, why?
Well, we're missing a crate. Well, we're missing three, actually. Where did you find it?
We actually found all three.
You did? Well, of course you did. Well, how could they stay hidden from you two? You know, I have never met two people more hungry for SEA knowledge than the two of you. Well, other than my grandfather, of course. You know, you didn't happen to bring the crates with you, did you?
Sadly, no. One of them is in the storage room at the Tomorrowland Theater.
And two of them are stuck in a half-sunken Mekong maiden.
Blast. You know, that's the last time I used Jungle Navigation Company to ship such precious cargo. Well, but the good thing is, at least we know where those crates are. Yeah, I was deathly afraid that Felix Casablanca had gotten a hold of them.
And speaking of which, how is the task of beefing up security on SEA artifact caches been going?
Oh, I am so glad you asked. It has been quite successful, actually. In fact, you are standing in one of the newest SEA artifact storehouses as we speak.
What are you talking about, Henry?
The Adventureland Treehouse itself is set to be one of the first publicly accessible SEA storehouses. That's exactly why we're looking for those three crates. They are the last of the collection set to be on display here.
What?
Yes, indeed. You probably noticed when you came through the treehouse that it felt a little incomplete.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the process of populating those empty spaces with SEA artifacts. That way, people who visit the treehouse will be able to marvel at just a small fraction of the wonderful items of the SEA's vast collection.
That's amazing! But how can you pull it off? Once Casablanca catches wind that there's SEA artifacts available for the stealing out in the open like this, he's bound to be all of those items like me on a seasonal beignet.
Or monkey voodoo on Freddy.
Oh, yeah, you guys have been through quite a lot. Well, that's where this gentleman comes in. Hey, Victor.
Yes?
Come over here real quick. Freddy and Alex, I'd like to introduce you to one of my closest friends and confidants, Dr. Victor Abagnale Jr., a research engineer and fellow of antiquities on loan to me from the Imagination Institute. Victor and I have created a 100% impenetrable security system that will prevent even the likes of Felix Casablanca from stealing these SEA artifacts.
Indeed. We've been developing the technology for some time now, and this treehouse will be the first storehouse to use the tech. We're very excited.
And once we get the system up and running here, we'll be installing it on all the other vaults around the world, too.
Assuming you get the Adventurer's Compendium book back from Casablanca.
Well, thankfully we're getting closer on that front as well. Without that compendium, we have no clue where to find the other vault locations. It's also a bit of a race against the clock in hopes that we can get the book back before Casablanca gets the third key that can unlock it.
But there's no way Casablanca can find the third key, since you have it, Henry.
Wait, what?
Oops, did I spill the beans?
Not to worry, Freddy, yes. Yeah, Victor, I have the third key.
That's amazing. Why didn't you tell me sooner, though?
Again, the fewer people who know means that fewer people who are in danger of Casablanca getting to them. But yes, as long as I have the key, we are safe from Casablanca opening the compendium and unlocking all of the secrets of the SEA, including those vault locations.
Which, I guess, means that we don't have to rush so quickly on the install in the treehouse, then, I suppose.
I wouldn't get too relaxed, Victor. Security is still our highest priority. The items in this treehouse are of specific importance to the Society. In fact, Freddy and Alex, I'm glad you're here. I just uncovered an object that you might find of great interest.
Yeah?
Indeed. Take a look at this.
Whoa. It's a vase.
But do you notice anything interesting about it?
It's not a vase I've ever seen in my research, personally.
Well, mine either. But take a look at the artwork toward the bottom curve of this piece. Now, if you take a look closer, you'll see a large stone-like vessel pouring out what looks to be
the breath of Zephyrus.
Yes, indeed.
So the myth of the three relics isn't actually a myth?
It would appear as though that's the case.
Okay, wait. Back up about 50 steps here, gang. Breath of Zanzibar, Three Amigos. What are you guys talking about?
Yes, I'm afraid I'm lost as well.
You see, the three relics is an SEA tall tale that many believe to be just myth. But the story goes that there were three powerful items hidden among the vast collection of SEA artifacts.
One of them being this Breath of Zephyrus.
Yes, and if you were to find these three items and take them to Focal Point, a mysterious SEA meeting site, it would unlock something known as the Veta Madre.
Veta Madre?
Translated, the Mother Lode.
Mother Lode, as in large deposit of gold?
That's correct.
Anyway, there really hasn't been any significant discoveries that led researchers to believe that the myth of the three relics was anything more than, well, just myth.
That is, until the discovery of this vase. Man, talk about hidden in plain sight.
Can you imagine how much gold all of the members of the SEA have amassed over the years?
An endless supply of it would be my guess.
But where do you think the Breath of Zephyrus is hidden?
Well, that's the mystery.
Henry, can I check out the vase?
Oh, by all means. Here you go.
Huh. No obvious markings or clues in the artwork. There's a couple of markings on here. Oh, but they can easily... Wait a minute. Hey!
What is it, Freddy?
There may actually be something here. Hey, take a look at the surface underneath the base of the vase.
Okay, well, what are we looking for?
Do you notice anything?
Just a bunch of cracks, like you'd expect to see on any old vase like this.
So it would seem, but take a closer look and you'll see the cracks aren't just random. If you trace this line and then this line, you'll see they make the shape of a
falcon's head. Oh, Freddy, you're a genius.
Aw, shucks.
Okay, hold the phone here. Why does it matter that some random cracks are in the shape of a bird's head? Sounds like we're leaning into the art of reading tea leaves now.
I must concur with Alex on this one.
That's what's so genius about the clue. To most, it seems random, nonsensical even. But to those who are steeped in the knowledge of the SEA, they'll know that the falcon represents Camellia Falco, the first female inducted into the SEA.
Okay.
So how is this a clue?
It's a clue because SEA historians understand that Camellia Falco took over her family's aerospace museum known as the Museum of Fantastic Flight. This museum is filled with SEA artifacts that are all about traveling through the skies.
Which would make it perfect place to hide the breath of Zephyrus.
Okay, time out again. You guys keep talking about the breath of Papyrus.
Zephyrus.
Yeah, that too. What the heck is it?
A fair question, to be sure, Al. But hang on. You see, each relic together leads to the Veta Madre, but each relic individually also has great significance to its finder. For instance, the breath of Zephyrus is said to bring long and healthful life to the one who breathes it in.
A fountain of youth kind of thing.
Precisely.
But again, it's also a key.
A key we probably want to get a hold of before anyone else does.
That sounds like a great idea. So where is this Breath of the Wild?
Zephyrus. Al, Zephyrus. If our clue is correct, then we'll need to be jumping across the pond to Tokyo Disney Sea, where Falco's Museum of Fantastic Flight is located.
Oh, Tokyo Disney Sea, I love it!
Victor, I believe it's time to fire up the Inara.
The Inara?
Oh, yeah. That's the name of my dirigible.
We're traveling by hot air balloon?
Not all of us.
What do you mean, Victor?
I mean that only one of us will be going to Falco's museum. That being myself.
Oh, Victor, I don't understand. What are you talking about?
Come now, Henry. Don't make me spell it out for you.
Oh, I see. Casablanca got to you, didn't he? How long have you been on his payroll?
It's not that simple, Henry. Casablanca is also not that simple. Tell me, who do you think fully funded my last three projects? I'll give you one guess.
Casablanca.
He can be taught.
Rude.
Victor, you don't know what you're doing. Casablanca is a very dangerous man.
I'm willing to take my chances. Now, if you will kindly make your way to the edge of the platform.
Ha! Who's gonna make us?
Me, and the pointy end of this antique cutlass. Now move!
Hey, watch where you're pointing that thing.
Henry, I'll thank you for handing over the key as well.
Victor, don't do this.
The key!
Here.
Perfect. Now that I have the third key, and the first location to these three relics you've spoken about, what need do I have for you three?
Are you really going to kill us, Victor?
Oh, what a vulgar idea, Henry. I'd hate to have that on my conscience.
Whew.
I'm gonna let the jungle do it. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Ow! Henry!
Over here.
Oh, man. Woo! Talk about a way to exit the treehouse.
Sheesh, I'll say. We're lucky we weren't eaten by piranhas.
Or dragged over the falls.
Or hippos.
I think we can all agree that there are many things here in this jungle that could have taken us out very easily. And it's best for us to let that turncoat Victor think that's exactly what happened. Now we can track him without suspicion.
But how are we going to track him? We're in the middle of nowhere, and we floated down the river for miles. He's got to be long gone by now.
Well, I have a feeling that our solution may just be on the horizon.
Way to keep it positive, Freddy. Guys, he's right. You know, we've got to keep our chin up, set our eyes on the goal. Don't give up hope. Right, Freddy?
Actually, I meant literally. Our solution is on the horizon. Look!
Whoa, would you look at that? It's a jungle cruise boat. What luck!
And it's headed right towards us. Hey! Over here!
They just waved. I think they see us.
Hey, they're pulling over for us.
Hey, Skips!
Annie Rugit!
Annie, what are you doing here in the jungle?
Well, ever since I had my little one, I've been trying to feed myself and him nothing but the freshest fruits and vegetables. And to be honest, there's no better place to source great fruits here than in the jungle.
So this is just a grocery run for you, Annie?
Yeah, pretty much. But I have to ask, what are you guys doing out here in the jungle?
Okay, well, that's a long, long story, Annie. But do you think you could give us a ride back to the dock?
Yeah, sure thing. Hop in.
Okay, all right. Gotta ride.
Hold on, fellas. Here we go.
Annie, I've got to admit, I'm still a little gobsmacked that we randomly ran into you out here.
Totally. We've so missed having you on the show during your maternity leave.
Oh, guys, I've missed being on the show. And I actually wanted to reach out to you to let you know that I'll be coming back soon. Very soon. Though, it may be touch and go for a little while until we find our groove in our house, you know?
Well, that's great news, Annie. You always have a place on the backside of water whenever you want it.
Doesn't matter if it's full-time or more sporadic. You're always welcome on a mic with us.
Oh, I appreciate that, guys. Can't wait to join you soon.
Oh, guys, I hate to break up this little reunion, but that boathouse is right up ahead.
Oh, what a sight for sore eyes.
It may be great to be back to the boathouse again, but there's still one big problem.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
We still have no way of catching Victor Abagnale. I mean, how are we going to get all the way to Tokyo Disney Sea from here?
Well, he has a point.
Guys, I refuse to give up. It's always darkest before the dawn, and hope comes in the morning. The truth must march on, and there's no rest for the weary.
Hey, wait. What did you just say, Freddy?
There's no rest for the weary?
No, before that.
The truth must march on.
March on. March. Hey, real quick, what's the date?
What?
Just tell me, what's the date?
It's March 5th.
What's so funny, Al?
Well, I think he swallowed too much jungle water, Freddy.
Guys, this is perfect. We have our solution.
Well, what? What's perfect? And what's the solution?
Guys, it's March 5th.
So?
So, what's occurring March 5th of 2023 in Adventureland?
Daylight savings?
No, Henry, it's Adventureland Day.
Oh, how could I forget? It is indeed.
Wait, what's Adventureland Day?
So it's a day when people from all over the globe meet together wearing their adventure-inspired attire and have a great day in the park together.
Our pal Tiki Tony hosts it every year, and it's an absolute blast. But what does that have to do with us getting to Tokyo Disney Sea?
Again, remember, the event pulls in people from around the globe, and they all have to get to the event somehow.
Yeah?
Okay, so what I'm saying is that we climb up on land here and find a ride to Tokyo Disney Sea with a willing Adventureland Dayer.
That's crazy, Al. That's just so crazy. It might work.
Well, let's hope so. Hey, Annie, can you drop us off at the unload position?
Yeah, sure thing, Skip. And here we are.
Thank you so much for the lift, Annie, and we can't wait to have you back on the show with us as soon as you're ready.
Well, I can tell you that it'll be much sooner than later. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have 26 bunches of ripe bananas to get to Northern California before they brown. It's great seeing you guys.
Oh, so great seeing you, Annie. Bye.
Bye, Annie.
Well, guys, what are we waiting for? Off to Adventureland Day.
Off to Adventureland Day.
Off to Adventureland Day! Woohoo!
What's next for our soggy-bottomed heroes? With Alex, Freddy, and Henry safe on dry land again, and brand new adventures just around the river bend, the cast of The Backside of Water wants to meet you at Adventureland Day. Sunday, March 5th is Adventureland Day at Disneyland in Anaheim, California, and we want to meet you there. Come dressed in your best safari tiki adventure gear and meet us at 3 p.m. at the base of the Adventureland Treehouse. Alex, Freddy, and Henry, Mike Mulligan will be there to meet you.
take pictures and share in a secret backside of water treasure hunt of our own. But that's not the only way to connect with us. The day before Adventureland Day, on Saturday, March 4th, from noon to 2 p.m., we'll be hosting a very special meetup and tour of the House of the Retro Future Suite at Hojo Anaheim, just across Harbor Boulevard from Space Mountain. Come for a private tour of this incredible recreation of the original Monsanto House of the Future that was opened in Tomorrowland from 1957 to 1967. Quick warning, there is no parking at Hojo Anaheim, so please park nearby at a Disney parking lot or elsewhere and be prepared to walk on over. So that's two great opportunities to meet your BSOW buddies at the Disneyland Resort. Saturday, March 4th, noon to 2 at Hojo Anaheim in the House of the Retro Future Suite. And Sunday, March 5th, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the base of the Adventureland Treehouse inside Disneyland for Adventureland Day. For those of you who don't know what Adventureland Day is, here's the skinny. Adventureland Day is a fun dress-up day at Disneyland and Walt Disney World where attendees follow clues and solve riddles in a treasure hunt where the first 1,000 Adventurelanders receive a prize. Purchase your Disneyland or WDW ticket through Disney's official apps and make your reservations now. For more information on the ride schedule, photo op, and treasure hunt details, text Adventureland Day to 833-340-0035 or follow on Instagram or Facebook at Adventureland Day for Disneyland or at Adventureland Day WDW for Walt Disney World. Okay, phew, that's a lot of info, but we got you covered. If you missed anything, search Backside of Water Podcast on Instagram and Facebook for the latest info. Thanks to Alex and Freddie for writing this epic adventure, for Mike Mulligan's velvet acting voice and never-ending support, and the real at Indie Hat guy, Eddie Agin, for being our real-life Skipper Eddie in the episode. Special production thanks to Harry Fiasco. He edited and sound designed this entire thing, and we can't thank him enough for bringing the adventures to life. Now, as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step, and if you happen to miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language. So long, folks.